Josh Wilson on WWIB. Borrow one day at a time. Calling to mind Jesus' words in the end of Matthew 6, where he talks about, do not worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that the truth? Yeah, Matthew 6:34. We covered that recently here in the best 5 minutes of the day as we truck along through the Sermon on the Mount, reading the scripture and from Jason Kahn's devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved. He's on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's kind of a Josh Wilson. We're in the middle. We're the meat, apparently, in a Josh Wilson sandwich because we just had Josh Wilson borrow one day at a time. And we've got another Josh Wilson song coming up. And even in the middle, for Mental Health Monday, we're going to Josh because he's the CCM artist who does Mental Health Monday, at least occasionally. And so we're going to borrow from his material today. How does that sound?
Perfect. Sounds good. Great.
Good. So did you get out and see the bee sculpture? Probably not because it was kind of a rainy weekend, right?
No, it was raining all weekend.
Yeah.
We had plans to get out and try to see it, and hopefully they don't take it down too quickly, but I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be there. I mean, right, Eau Claire now, the leading city in the country for rotating sculpture tours. So they had 53, they're up to 77, and I saw it again yesterday, and I'm just like, I can so picture you right standing next to this giant bee by the Grand Ave Bridge downtown side and getting your picture taken. And so
that's the plan.
Yeah.
Heather's going to come with me and shoot a photo. And so
I want to be there. Tell me when you're going.
All right.
Here's what Josh Wilson posted about 4 weeks ago. He said, "Happy Mental Health Monday. As an introvert, sometimes I forget that I need to be around people I love. I tend to isolate during times of stress." Josh says, while it's important for all of us, even extroverts, to have times of solitude, I've learned that community, friendship, and togetherness is vital for my mental health. And then he says, what's something that helps your mental health, Jason Kahn's?
Yeah, you know, I would just start by saying those two are both very important, the solitude and the community piece. You know, Bonhoeffer talked about that a lot. Just thinking about it, for me, getting outside is really important.
Uh-huh.
For my mental health.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's just sitting in the sun, sitting in a chair, or going for a walk, all of those things can be really important for me for my mental health.
I think I did something for my mental health by getting that cabin up in Phillips here a week ago. I mean, that was really just unplugging, even as much as it's difficult, like getting away from Wi-Fi. Although the bug bites, I wasn't a big fan of the bug bites. Those kind of lasted into last week. But if I could... I got to wear socks next time. But it's, you know, when it's summer, you feel weird having socks on.
For sure. Or bug spray.
But I did put some bug spray. But I don't know, whatever. Okay. Apparently.
All right. They found their way through.
You're not buying it. All right. I know they got there before the bug spray, I guess, whatever. So.
Yeah, that's the challenge.
We got a lot of material if we're going to handle, because the next block of Matthew 7 in Letters to the Beloved, you have blocked off verses 16 through 20, so you better share that with us this morning.
Yeah, you bet. It says, you can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions.
All right, it's a lot of material, but here we go. Five verses, Matthew 7, 16 through 20, from Jason's devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved. Here we go. He says, if people dress the part and quote lots of Bible verses, how are you supposed to discern their motives? Look at the fruit that grows in their lives and ministry. They might have you believe that the fruitfulness I'm talking about includes larger congregations, bigger budgets, and newer buildings. They judge their success by their influence or brand, but my apostle Paul said that real fruit was love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. No one assumes a hungry wolf is gentle. Good fruit grows on good trees. Those who have tasted my grace and goodness become gracious and good. Poisonous fruit comes from evil roots. Shame, control, and religious manipulation are evidence of poison fruit, but I will cut down the diseased trees and cast them into the fire.
Yeah. You know, I think that We have this idea that just because someone claims to be Christian, that their motives are always pure, and that isn't always true. And again, I think that's why we're given the Holy Spirit to look for fruit in a person's lives, to see how they show up, and that gives us a clue as to the heart behind their words.
And again, I mean, if you read the Gospels, and in Matthew's a good one, I mean, Jesus doesn't say any rougher or tougher words about anybody than he does to the Pharisees in Matthew 23, the seven woes. We don't have the seven woes of anybody else except the leading religious right. people of his day. So we need to take yeah. that to heart, because if you had never read the Gospels before, you wouldn't imagine them to go as they do, right?
Right, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Jesus is surprising.
He is for sure. All right. Well, yeah. it is a Make Us Laugh Monday, and John is already weighing in with a joke. Let me share it with you. Here we go.
Why did the teacher send the egg to the principal's office?
Why?
He cracked too many yolks.
There we go. John, good timing. He spaced it out. You know, you've got to do it just right. You got to share it. Give it a pause. All right.
Yeah.
Finally, you're going to yep. like the fact that today is Be Kind to Humankind Week. Huh? Pretty good.
Very good. I like it a lot.
I'm going to go to Josh.
Good reminder.
Josh Wilson has a song called Revolutionary, meaning revolutionary by being kind. So we're going to get to that. Jason, thanks. Talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Hopefully he finds that B sculpture time this week. Yeah, we're talking about it in terms of a batting order. So we had PCD John batting leadoff this morning, but we need some others, and so we're going for a youngster who is giving us a ring on the listener line. Let's give it a listen.
Good morning. Oliver from Eau Claire here. Just as a joke, how do you find Will Smith in snow? You follow the Fresh Prince.
Oh, man.
There it is. Yeah. All right. Some good stuff. A couple of good jokes. Who's going to bat third in the joke lineup this morning? Off to Detroit we go, where Drew Fralick is back with us after a week away, and he had actually flown to Atlanta. I didn't realize that your wife and your young children had been with you on the flight.
Yeah, we were all there. It was a full flight, lots of kids. I was thinking, how do I tell this story? I guess I'll just get into it. So we were on a flight on Saturday from Atlanta to Detroit, and there was about 10 kids in the back of the plane. And they're all, you know, they're kids, right?
Yeah.
It's like, as a parent, you know, before you had kids, you'd be like, wow, these kids are really loud and rambunctious. But like, as a parent, you don't even feel the pain anymore. It's like you've been kicked so many times.
You're desensitized.
I didn't even notice. I mean, it's like, I can't even, it's just background noise. I don't notice. So I look up. The guy who's sitting in the seat in front of me, he's this businessman, I guess, you know, nicely dressed, noise-canceling headphones. He's texting his girlfriend, talking trash about my kids and the other kids. He texts her and goes, OMG, I'm surrounded by kids. These kids are so annoying.
Wow.
You know, the parents are, you know, why can't these parents control their kids? And first of all, you know, I felt kind of annoyed, you know. It's kind of brazen to be texting right there. You know, I can see him texting, you know what I mean? So
How dare he?
Now, the thing is, you know, if he was a real businessman, he wouldn't be in the back with us. But anyways, and, you know, you're the Christian radio host, Mark. You tell me how I should feel. And maybe this is wrong.
Yeah.
But I feel like after so many years, like when I first was a parent, I felt very apologetic. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. Uh-huh. I'm disrupting you. But now I'm almost like, it almost brings me like a sick kind of joy. Like, I want you to feel my pain.
Right.
You
know?
I don't know. Is that wrong?
I think, you know, it might be tempted. Yeah, then the hard part, because, you know, me and my big mouth would be the name of my autobiography at some point. I mean, you'd be tempted to say, like, oh, you think this is bad. You know, you should see him at home. I mean, it'd be kind of like, this is nothing, you know. But That's that fine line, right? Because they are kids, but, like, traveling. So you didn't think they were extraordinarily loud, necessarily?
I thought they were, I mean, for me, I thought it was like a 3 out of 10. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyways, so the kid next to him, so this was terrible. The kid next, so he was literally surrounded by kids, which I'll give him that.
Uh-huh.
And the kid next to him was having an asthma attack.
Mm.
And it was so bad that the kid threw up all over the seat. And that really sent the guy
that didn't
over the top.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that guy got the full in-flight experience. And I kind of felt bad for him, but, you know, I don't know. You know how we feel.
He got a taste of it, I guess, for sure. Well, I think it sets us up perfectly for this new song from Micah Tyler, I See Grace.
Good morning and happy Make Me Laugh Monday. I have this Sherry from Whitehall, and I have a couple of jokes for you. One, why shouldn't you write with a broken pencil? Because it's pointless. The second one, where does a baseball player go when he needs a new uniform? He goes to New Jersey. Have a great Monday. God bless.
To Make Us Laugh Monday, Rick weighs in.
Yes, this is Rick. Do you know why Norwegians are so smart? They can tell their lefse from their rightse.
There you go, Rick. Love the lefse jokes on a Monday morning.
Weekend recap, WWIB started for me Friday. The home of grassland butter, Greenwood. And what a wonderful, nice community. And McDonald going on to a 62-8 win in eight-man football. So a good way to start the season for them. And Saturday, the highlight, a small group leaders gathering at my church in Eau Claire. And thanks to Pastor Nate for organizing that. And it was great to just kind of collaborate and come up with good ideas, the way to lead your small group, a luncheon afterwards. And then last night, gathering with three other couples from actually a total of three different churches, and just the fellowship and the prayer time. It was great.
Well, for me, you know, on Friday, when I left on Friday, and you can still maybe hear a little bit of it, but I mean, I was under the weather and had to be up, had to get up at 5-something on Saturday morning, which isn't strange for us during the week, but, you know, on the weekend, uh-huh. It's like, oh, man, I'd rather sleep a little bit. But we had a church work day that started bright and early at 7:30 a.m., up in Rice Lake. So I had to drive an hour for that. So I had to get up and I was just like, man, I hope I'm not feeling this way on Saturday morning. But God was so merciful to me that I really, really started improving rapidly on Saturday.
Nice.
And so anyway, so just gives the strength for each day, right? So there's something about, and there's nothing wrong with sitting around and talking about feelings and such, but it seems like with men, when you work together, there's just a lot of fellowship that happens that might not otherwise. And so I'm someone who really struggles getting to know people. And so being able to work with the other men of my church really is just, it was beneficial to get things done, but also just in terms of relationships. So I was really grateful for that. And then on Sunday, because the church is all torn up right now, we had Veterans Memorial Park in Rice Lake. We had our church service on the band shell there. So a beautiful day. And then just a lot of family time up in Rice Lake. And it was great to be able to participate as we do many Sunday afternoons. We had a family football game, and my sister promised, it was kind of a neat moment when she's the new music teacher at Flambeau, and as she made a diving, twisting, left-handed catch right inside the front pylon of the end zone, she got up after making that touchdown catch and dusted herself off, as she so often does after an amazing reception, and tossed the ball to our trained border collie, who's also our referee, and she said, you know what I'd like to do? I'd really like to go hunting and fishing. And so there's an inside joke with that, and you can decide how much of what I just said is true.
Okay.
But anyway, we did have a good time playing together, even with a little mist outside. Played some football, played some games, and it was good family time. So as this song from Unsecret states, we're better together. That's Better Together, Unsecret, and a joke we didn't get to yet from Cliff. He didn't leave it as a voicemail, so I was searching for it, but here it is. Cliff says, what award did the Knock Knock joke inventor win? The Nobel Prize.
Oh, man.
All right, it's a Make Us Laugh Monday, WWIB. We've been hearing from the listeners throughout the morning. Appreciate that. And you can still get in with your joke between now and 9 at 715-396-1670. Here's our best six back and forth, three apiece for Caleb and I. Well, Caleb, you know, we have a smart fridge. Yeah, in fact, it's so smart, I pin its homework on my kids.
There you go. Well, I don't know if I've ever told you about this guy, but there's a friend of mine, Havel, who's quite well known for sweeping girls off their feet.
Really?
He's an extremely aggressive janitor.
Hey, a real smart TV would increase the volume when you start eating chips, don't you think?
Right?
During a football season?
Well, engineers have just made a car that can run on parsley.
Really?
Amazing. Now they're hoping to make buses that run on time.
Yes. There we go. Gotcha. Hey, my last one this morning, my favorite novel, I never told you this before, is The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Yeah, I just love a protagonist with a twisted backstory. All right.
Okay, and one more for me on a Make Us Laugh Monday here in the WIB Wake Up Show. The reason that aliens have never visited us is because our solar system has received terrible reviews. We only have one star.
Oh, man.
There you go. It's a space joke. All right. You can do better.
Well, a big deal today is supposed to be the Artemis rocket launch, but apparently an engine problem leading NASA to delay the launch of that new moon rocket. But nonetheless, we've got Artemis by the numbers.
All right, so let's dive in. Again, I think a lot of us have at least a mild fascination with space and exploration and such. And so, yeah, interesting.
It is. We started off the liftoff of NASA's Artemis 1 moon mission was scheduled for 7:33 Central Time this morning. The test flight that was supposed to serve as the first phase of the agency's Artemis program to return astronauts to the moon by 2025.
Now, NASA had a two-hour window in which to try and launch Artemis 1 today. Doesn't look like that is going to happen, but yeah, looking forward. I'm sure every TV network will let us know when that's going to happen again.
Yeah, so some things that make this up. 11 parachutes were supposed to make up Orion's parachute system. They must deploy in precise sequence to slow the spacecraft from 324 miles an hour to a landing speed of 17, so it would be ready for splashdown in the Pacific.
When it actually happens, 1.3 million miles is the total distance that the Artemis 1 mission will cover.
Yeah, 5.8 million pounds is the weight of the space launch system at liftoff. That's the weight of 8 fully loaded 747 jumbo jets.
And like sending all of those into space.
Wow.
24,500 miles per hour is the speed at which Orion will enter the Earth's atmosphere on its return.
Just try to fathom that. I mean, can you even? Like 200 miles an hour in a race car or something. 24,500 miles.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah. How about 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit is nearly the temperature that Orion's heat shield will endure as it returns through Earth's atmosphere. That's half as hot as the surface of the sun.
Wow. Zero. The number of astronauts that will be on board Artemis is an uncrewed mission to test systems in a spaceflight environment. But again, they're hoping to return the first woman to the moon in 2025, which is very cool.
There you go. 100 miles is the altitude the space launch system reaches 8 minutes after liftoff before its core stage separates and falls into the Pacific, landing east of Hawaii.
A few more here in the WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB. Artemis, by the numbers, even though the mission was scrubbed today, 6 weeks is approximately the duration of the Artemis mission to the moon and back.
322 feet is the height of the Artemis 1 rocket stack, a little taller than the Statue of Liberty.
I was just going back for a second. You know when you say I love you to the moon and back? But then that 6 weeks thing is like, no, it's not. It's meant to be, 10 CubeSats will hitch a ride on the rocket. These small satellites will carry out their own science and technology investigations.
8 to 14 days is how long it'll take to get from the Earth to the moon when it does happen.
90,000 is the number of gallons of liquid hydrogen and liquid oxygen that'll be burned every minute for 8 minutes by 4 R525 engines that are part of the space launch system. That seems like a lot.
Finally, 3 minutes and 40 seconds is all it takes for the rocket to lift off and go into orbit. Didn't happen this morning, but sometime in the near future, hopefully.
Hopefully soon.
All right, well, this caught my attention this morning, and I thought, I think Caleb and I are under this. So here we go. Headline, average pet parent takes 400 pictures of their pet each year. That seems like a lot.
I mean, again, if you average that out, that's at least one picture every day and sometimes more.
Now, as I check my latest photos, there you go. There's a large bee sculpture near the Grand Ave Bridge. I took that from my friend Jason, had that in mind to send that to him. And the next four pictures are Peggy in a kayak with our little miniature poodle, Wesley. So I guess they pile up if you take multiple ones like that. But I got to say, I think in general, I fall far short, especially for our ferret.
Yeah, I would not say that I take pictures very often at all. Occasionally, taking a few of the kitten, just, you know, maybe to send to Lily or something like that. To Arlo, I don't take pictures of him that often. Every once in a while, but again, 400, I mean, I would... It's probably more like four a year or something like that.
The story,
Lindsay takes more.
I've seen some of Lindsay's pictures of your kitty on Facebook. A third of pet parents have more photos of their furry friends on their phones than of their kids. That's, in fact, what the survey of 2,000 dog and cat owners finds, that they take over 400 pictures of their pets every year.
I mean, and it's fun to see the pictures, too. It was National Dog Day on Friday, and so we asked you, like, hey, do you have a picture handy of your puppy pal? And a lot of you, I think, already had them on your camera roll ready to go, so those were a lot of fun to see.